2.5 years ago, I put everything in storage, sold my home. I've been renting space in a friend's home to minimize my monthly expenditures so I could recreate my life to become more of the solution rather than the problem as I saw it in working in corporate America. And not so much that, not so much on the negative side, but just to live what's in here that wants out, so to speak. And I've always felt in my gut, you know, I've always felt guidance, and I feel it very much on a personal level and a spiritual level. But in terms of my path forward, I'm no clearer today than I was 2.5 years ago.
Well, that's because you're trying to run away and join the circus rather than change the vibration within you, which allows you to perceive your world in a clearer way. We have a question or two just to sort of get things into an easier to begin place, and then we'll proceed as far as you want to go with this. Do you, now you've got the sense of what we're talking about that which is physical mm-hmm. being the leading edge of that which is non-physical. So do you think that there are any inner beings involved in what you call corporate America?
Yes, of course.
Of course. In other words, it's illogical to think that anything could be happening without the support and sustenance and flowing of source energy. Mm-hmm. So it may be that in the way you are seeing corporate America, that the leading edge extensions of this non-physical energy might be co-creating with one another in a way that they've pinched themselves off and are not personally allowing themselves to be consciously connected with source energy. Yes. But it isn't the endeavor or the activity or the place or the action. It's not that action journey, it's the emotional journey that you're having right along with it. Mm-hmm. We see some of the most fulfilled, fulfilling, excited, exciting beings on your planet right smack dab in the middle of corporate America. Mm-hmm. In other words, their juices are really flowing. There's a lot being called through them. In other words, you could be in any phase of life or in any avocation, and you can be open and allowing who you are to flow through you, or you could have it pinched off. And we really do not think that the place that you are standing has anything to do with whether you're pinched off or not. We think it's your attitudinal response to it. Mm-hmm. But your questions are
you're
good
exactly
ones.
Right.
They come back from what, from the standpoint that so many people are feeling, and we certainly understand it. If you are standing in your body and you look over here and you see something that makes you feel good, or you're standing over here and you look over here and you see something that makes you feel bad, we understand how you would vote for more of the good feeling things and you would vote for fewer of the not good feeling things. And we can understand how over time you become an individual or a civilization or a mass consciousness that believes that is the controlling of circumstances that are necessary in order to live good lives. And it is from that framework that you come up with a statement such as, I can't be happy in corporate America. I need to separate myself from that and go someplace else into some other phase of life, only to discover, as you did, that you took yourself with you and it didn't get any clearer anywhere else, because it wasn't about the outside trappings. It was about the inner observing of them and right. vibrational responses. So right. that's sometimes people will describe a very unpleasant environment and they will prod us to try to get the words out of us that give them permission while they need no one's permission to leave that. They'll say, shouldn't I leave this job, or shouldn't I leave this mate? Shouldn't I leave this house? And we always say, perhaps, in other words, that whether they stay or go is really not the issue. But we always say, you will be taking yourself with you. And so if you walk or go to a different environment because there is something that you're not feeling good about the environment that you're in, your point of attraction has not changed. And the universe will recreate around you the hub of this vibrational signal something that will match again and again and again and again and again. And we've noticed that it really is, even though you don't usually think so, it really is easier to stay right where you are and incrementally begin making those vibrational adjustments than it is to upheave everything in your experience and go into all new environments and then try to begin again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe it. I have lived and I believe everything you've said. I know that that's true, and I know that it was my attitude, and I had some of the best moments of my life there. It's not that I think corporate America is the problem. Some people in it choose ways I don't choose, but it was like every path I went down, every door I opened closed in my face, and it just seemed to me in my life when things start happening like that that are inexplicable, I always think it's source at work in my life directing me to another path, and that's why I made the break I did.
But here's the thing that we really want you to hear. We agree with you that when you are in sync with your own heart's desire, that doors are opening for you, and you can just feel the logic of the next step. It just continues to unfold for you. And whether this door is opening or this door is closing, still it is clear that this isn't the way to go, and so maybe another way is the way to go. But the sensation of doors closing is not the byproduct of someone in sync with what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's the byproduct of someone with split energy,
mm-hmm.
who knows sort of what they want and knows that that isn't it. In other words, this is a very common thing to have split energy on a myriad of subjects within you. And it comes about in very simple forms just by saying things like, I want that, but I'd like to have more money, but money doesn't grow on trees. I'd like more money, but there's no money in my history, and there's no money going to be left to me, and it's not likely that I would win a lottery ticket, and so I will always be working for so much per hour. And I'd like more money, but you've got to have more of an education to have more money, and I don't feel like doing what it would take to do to get more money, and so I want more money. But in other words, there is a equal or greater beating of the drum of why the money isn't going to come as there is statements of desire that I want more money. And we see so many humans who get very good at sort of balancing that all out, and by good at it, we don't mean it takes you to a better place. We just mean you get better and better and better at not expecting things to change. And that is sort of what results in those doors closing. Because for a door to close, there it has to be partially open. So, and otherwise we wouldn't be talking about doors at all.
You're spot on. I mean,
there's a desire that's opening a door, and then there's a belief that's closing the door, and then there's a desire that's opening the door, and then there's a belief or a statement that's closing the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you would just do the things that are opening the doors and stop doing the things that are closing the doors, there would just be open door, open door, open door, and you would just be skipping along through this path that's unfolding beautifully before you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that you're doing that's opening the doors is appreciating and praising and doing things that say and feel optimistic, and the things that are closing the doors are things that feel the other way. In other words, the way you feel when you say them is your hint about whether it's a door opening or whether it's getting closer to a door closing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We think that a lot of you, and you're certainly doing it, and we understand it, and it's just fine. But there are so many who you become accurate historians, and we think it's because you've had so many people that are interested in you and how you're doing that you have conversations with, and you keep sort of explaining where you are as if they could understand anyway
or really care.
And yet you practice in your mind a sort of explanation, and it comes out in the form of justification. And we believe that the basis for this desire to keep justifying or explaining where I am is because at some level of my being, I know that I ought to be doing better, because at some level of my being, I remember that I'm source energy, and I remember the promise that this life held for me. And there is something so deeply annoying about recognizing on some level that things are supposed to be going well and then noticing that they aren't. And so you develop clever ways of trying to deal with that by saying, well, doors are closing. And there are a lot of people, we hear it often in this format, where people who are attempting to make lemonade out of the lemon, so to speak, or they're attempting to say, well, it probably wasn't the best thing for me, and that's why it didn't unfold. And we want to say, well, that may very well be, because there are always lovely things for you. But things ought to be unfolding. Don't take no for an answer. Don't let yourself pinch yourself off from the well-being that you want and deserve. Finally, you've just got to get very powerful in your intentions that say, I am a very worthy person, and it's time that I start proving that to myself. I live in a universe that has the basis of well-being. It's time that I start proving that to myself. I've got to stop arguing for my limitations. I've got to stop justifying why things are not going better. And analogies, clever and cute as they are, about doors closing, is still beating the drum of things not going the way I want them to go. When at any point in time, you've got this fresh, clear start. You don't have to explain nothing to nobody. You get to say, here's where I am, and from where I am, the view's quite clear. And from where I am, I think what I prefer is. So then the question that we would put to you is, what do you prefer? Do you like living in somebody else's house, or do you want your own house?
Oh, I want my own home. But I have many opportunities before me, and you're spot on with the split mind, the split desires. I don't feel any, and this is very unusual for me because I usually feel things rather quickly, and for 2.5 years, I don't feel any of these opportunities as being a true opportunity for me. And so I'm out in the desert between Yuma and Phoenix.
Well, here's the thing that we think so many of our students of deliberate creation, whether they're new to us or old to us, or whether they're getting their information from someplace else, here's the thing that we notice is off in their perspective of this. So often they say, well, I've lived life, and now here I am, and I've sort of cleared things out, and now I'm ready to go. I'm ready to find my place. I'm ready to be who I came to be. I'm ready to follow my guidance. And they think that somebody else has figured out who they are or who they should be, that will guide them in the right direction. Sort of like an inner being or a god or a guardian angel or somebody up there knows, and I'm waiting for the sign. And what we want to say to you is, make a decision and then make the decision right. Don't wait for, that would be like somebody sculpting clay and taking the big clump of clay and splatting it down and then just waiting. And someone says, aren't you going to mold it? And they would say, I'm waiting for a sign. I'm waiting for someone to tell me if it should have a head and a nose or if it should be something else. And what we want to say in this analogy is, you've already got the idea in your mind. You've lived enough life that you know what it is you want to do with this clay. And it won't be the only clay that you ever get to play with anyway. So get your hands in it. Make a decision about what you want. Make a decision and then make it the right decision by becoming a vibrational match to it. That's how you get things moving, you see. All of these opportunities that you say don't feel like the right one, they don't have any compelling energy around them because you say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. I want it to be right, but what if it's wrong? I'd like to find something meaningful, but don't want to do corporate America. I'd like to do that, but it reminds me of something I don't like. I'd like to do that, but it reminds me of something else I don't like. And so when you're doing that, then nothing gets any momentum and nothing calls you. And then you say, well, I'm waiting for a sign. And what we said that. But what we want you to begin to understand is that you create your own reality. So you have some experiences that just sort of stir you up. And as the experience stirs you up, it launches some rockets of desires. And there are all of these desires that are there. And you say, yes, Abraham, I've been listening to you today. And I understand that there's this wonderful life for me out there in vibrational escrow that I want to get in sync with, but I don't know which way to go. And we say, you can go any direction and get in sync with that wonderful stuff that's being held for you in vibrational escrow. It's not in one job. It's not in one place. The potential for the fulfillment of all of that wonderful stuff is everywhere you want to go. You could live on any city on the planet and find fulfillment. You could be with nearly every partner on the planet and find fulfillment. In other words, you make too much, all of you, where you're really getting a dose of it here, and it's not okay. Just meant for you. It's meant for everyone. You make too much of trying to frame out the perfect life. You really put yourself in a crippling place when you stand here and say, I am the deliberate creator of my own experience, and I've got to get everything figured out from where I am forever, evermore. Mm-hmm. That'll make you sort of want to stand here and work longer. And we say, just get moving in something that feels like the approximate direction of where you want to go, and pick up more data along the way, which will help you to firm up your decisions about what you want. And if it doesn't feel good, then try to make it feel better. And pretty soon, wherever you are and whatever you're doing will begin to feel like magnificent life experience. And for heaven's sake, stop trying to compare the way your life is framing out with anybody else's. In other words, you're different from all of them. You're living a different life from them. We think that's the rebellion you have about corporate America. Corporate America tends to sort of want you to all, not always, and it's too big of a statement, but there is a lot of similarity in the way people behave within it, even though there is enormous diversity even under that label.
You have just described my life right now to an absolute T. I mean, it's what's been swirling in my mind. And Abraham, I just haven't been able to get out of it because in the past, I've lived my life the way you're describing. I have an idea. I go for it. I give it my all. It succeeds. It's wonderful. It works. And then when the doors started closing, I took that as a sign that, because I had this yearning inside of me to do something that was of service more, that since we spend so many hours a day at work, there wasn't much time left over to do anything in terms of giving back. So I did this grandiose, you know, I've been out in this void and been feeling good about it, have stretched myself beyond the absolute limits.
All right, now we're going to give you something really big here. Who are you giving back to? And the reason we ask the question is because we know the big answer.
But hit me with it.
Everyone has access to the same infinite, never-ending, eternal, non-physical resources. So there's no shortage anywhere. So when you say, I want to give something back, can you hear, in light of what we've been talking about all day here today, that your exposure to the contrast and the subsequent asking that is born out of that is more giving back than you ever, ever could have imagined? Because in your willingness to experience the contrast, you conjure the questions that summon the all that is forward. Did you get that? In other words, your willingness to explore the contrast and give birth to the questions and desires and preferences that are happening within you is literally the summoning point of life. The expansion of the universe depends upon it. We think you are worthy because of it, you see. But what man means when man says give back is, well, I think that I've been living so much joy, which means you're in the flow. When you're living a joyful life, that means you finally got in sync. The cycle is finally complete in the way. You experienced the contrast. You gave birth to the desire. You became a vibrational match to the desire. And the universe yielded into your experience in full blossoming bloom, the manifestation of the things that you launched in terms of creation and got up to sync with. Did you hear that? It was a mouthful. It is so powerful the way this universe continues to unfold. And so you got in the flow of things and you allowed the universe to yield to you in the way that it always does. But then you look around and you see someone else not reaping the benefits. And then the idea of service for most people is, well, I've just been blessed too much. I should withhold some of the blessings that have been coming to me and shunt them or shuttle them over to somebody who's not getting them. And we say, good luck in that one. Universal forces can't force them to let the good stuff in. You're not going to be able to. You're depriving yourself of your clarity and your balance, and your material creation is not going to for a moment allow somebody else who's resistant to the idea of having it. In other words, you never say, oh, I've been well for so long, I think I'll be sick for the next 10 years so that some poor sick fool can be well for a while. You never say that because you do not believe that their wellness is being squandered by you, you selfish being. How dare you be so well for so long and let the others be sick? What's the matter with you? You should become one of service. You should get sick and let them be well. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because you know that it is not based on that. And so when someone says, I'm going to be of service, we say the best service that you could be to anyone is to get in there and love life and let your life cause you to desire things. And again, get up to speed with what you desire and create through the clarity of your example the abundance of this universe, you see. And so that's who you are. You're a teacher of that. Yes.
So you started out the morning talking about our wars against terrorism and poverty and all of that. And we are in a war in this country, and I've tried mostly to not give much attention to it. However, I have two teenage sons. And some people who know more what's going on politically think there's going to be a draft. And I'm struggling with what I do. It's a two-part question, because one, I'm wondering about inserting my own values and beliefs into their reality. And the other is, if they choose to pursue something like conscientious objector status, is that simply adding energy to something that they don't want, I hope that they don't want, and you know, building that energy?
Well, anything that you give your attention to makes it more active in your vibration. Anything that you give your attention to that makes you uncomfortable while you give it your attention means that you're moving yourself closer to something that you do not want. But this is a huge question that you're asking, because you're talking about things that you want in relationship to your children. You're not even really sure what they want. You hope that they want for themselves what you want for them, but then that's sort of the parental drum beating all along, isn't it? You want your children to sort of see the world in the way that you see the world.
Of course.
So we're just going to tell you a few stories here to just sort of loosen things up a little bit, because someone brought, in fact, it's happened on a few occasions, some flyers to Jerry and Esther wanting them to distribute them. And the flyers were about a meeting, a world meeting, where people could be proponents of peace. And Esther said to us, Abraham, will there ever be that kind of peace on the planet? And we said, hopefully not. Which is a little unsettling to most humans, because they think that peace is the other side of war. And all of the things that are horrible about war on the other side, which is peace, should be all of the wonderful things. In other words, it seems like opposite ends of the same stick to so many people. But coming from a universal perspective where we are lastly advocates of sameness, peace is more a vibrational leaning towards sameness than is war. And war is more a vibrational leaning toward diversity. So, well, we'll just spit it out. in sameness, there is a narrowing of one's experience, which is the opposite of the expanding universe that we all adore. You're not even wanting to come with us for a while because you're afraid of where we're going to take you. But we're just wanting to shake things up a little bit to help you to realize that differences are a natural conclusion or result of different people with different perspectives mixing it up together. You have disagreements, you have agreements, you have arguments, you have wars, you have different ways of looking at things. And war is not in and of itself wrong, and it is the byproduct of something that is very, very right. It is the byproduct of healthy, personal, selfish opinion about a different way of life than someone else might choose. What goes wrong with war, and this is the inherent flaw in war, and this is the thing that we would like to talk about and we would like you all to talk about. In other words, this is the solution to the conflagrations that are happening around the world, and eventually it is possible that this could come into balance. Be proponents of variety and difference, but be proponents of personal vibrational alignment rather than of needing to change the system or change the circumstance in order to bring things back around to the way you want them. Now, we could hear some of all of this inherent in your question, and here's what we mean. You understand that there's something bigger than you and your family happening on this planet, and you understand that your government does seem to have the power to enact the draft. And so it does seem like if you want that not to happen, that then you should join the ranks of others who also want it not to happen and become an advocate that is then able to vote down anything that would make that possible. And we say it is the long, very, very hard way to go about it, to try to control your government or to try to control any faction of anything, to try to control any condition so that you will feel better, to even try to control the decisions in the minds of your own children so that you can feel better, is really going about it the hard way. And we never see anybody get any long-standing or satisfying result from that. So rather than trying to head your government off so that they don't do a draft, or trying to change the policy of your government so that it withdraws its troop effort so it doesn't need so much economic and physical support, if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would just paint a clear picture in our mind of who our children are. And we would see them in no way a vibrational match to any of that. So, turns out that you can't push against the draft without hooking yourself into that, without getting the stuff in your pie that you do not want to get in your pie. It's hard for people to hear us when we speak this powerful truth, but nothing can come into anyone's experience that they are not giving an inordinate amount of attention to.
But does that hold true for my kids too, that I can hold them in a certain vibrational light, but if they're not, I mean, it's their
well, here's the thing,
important,
you're
right?
Wishing for them well-being.
Right.
And we promise you that they are not, nor would they ever, wish other than that for themselves. Mm. But you do not get to choose the way that the well-being comes to them. Esther has had two or three experiences that have sort of startled her because it caused her to come to a realization that she didn't expect or even think she wanted. One day she was sitting in an airport waiting for a flight, and across the aisle, sitting about as far as these people are from us, there was a family who looked dead in the sense that there was no life or enthusiasm that was visible on any of their faces. Esther wondered if they'd been fighting with each other and now were giving each other the silent treatment. It was sort of hard to figure out what was going on with them, but there was not a particle of joy or enthusiasm for life among the four of them, a father, a mother, and two children, teenagers. None of them talking to each other, none of them doing much of anything except the young girl occasionally rummaged around in her purse as if she was trying to bring some order to it. But they were all very placid. It made Esther uncomfortable to watch them. And then Esther glanced down, and on the table next to her was a front page newspaper picture. And it was a family. It could have been the same family, except they were a different nationality. But there was a father and a mother and two teenage children. And this family was running toward the camera in an attitude of fleeing something. And the photographer had caught the shot. And Esther looked across the way at these people who were dead. And then she looked at this picture of people who were alive and very intent on something. And in Esther's mind, she said right out loud to herself, I choose that. I would choose an environment that was evoking from me some sort of passion about something rather than boredom. Now, we are talking extremes here, and we know that you and your family do not fall on either side of this. But the reason that we tell you this story is because there are so many youngsters who join the military not because they are even proponents of the war that they are a part of, but because they want the adventure, they want the experience, they want the expansion, they want the exposure. They want something about life to give them something to think about. Esther's father, who recently made his transition at the age of 88, when he was 80 years old, wrote a book called Musings from an Octogenarian. And Esther was so excited to read her father's book because she didn't really know very much about him. He hadn't talked to her hardly at all during the very brief time that she grew up there. And in the years that she'd been gone, they were sort of on different vibrational wavelengths. And so they'd not had any long philosophical conversations about anything. And in talking with Jerry, and Jerry, who is a never-ending asker of questions, Esther had come to realize that she really did not know very much about what her father thought about much of anything. It was very pleasant to be around and seemed to be living a pleasant enough life, but Esther could not wait to dig into the book of his life. She was especially eager to find the part about her and her sisters and the part that she recognized, and so she got the book, and it was a very big book, many, many, many pages. And she read and 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 read. And then she realized that she was through 90% of the book and it hadn't got to her yet. It was all about his time in the service. It was all about his time as this youngster. It was all about his time when a very small part of his life was the majority of his book. Esther found herself in one small paragraph coupled in with her two other sisters. She was not significant to his life. What was significant to his life was the brief time that he spent in service. It gave her a complete new reorientation of the way different people see things, you see. In other words, you don't get to choose for anything. But as a mother, if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would acknowledge that your children have inner beings who are active within them, and that they have guidance that comes forth from within, and that they are vital and alive, and that life will reveal itself to them in magnificent and varied ways. And wish for them that they get to do the things that they want to do. And do not in any way try to overlay your limitations. And by not activating within yourself a limitation that you would like to impose for their safety, you will neither activate something within them that you don't want to activate. In other words, you won't activate the natural rebellion that most parents activate. In other words, for most children, all their parents have to do is say, don't do that, and their children dive in with both feet. Because their intense desire to express their unequivocal freedom is more important to them than almost anything else, you see. This is a very large world with very many facets, and the well-being is huge in relationship to anything else. When you say, our country is at war, we want to say to you, you said we are at war, and we want to say to you, you are not at war. do not take on yourself, do not superimpose things upon yourself or upon your children that you are not wanting to experience. We would not ever say, we hope your children do not join military service. What we would say is, it is our desire for your children that they follow their heart and that they have confidence in themselves and that wherever they go and whatever they do, they take their inner being along with them. And some of the most fantastic adventures happen in places that parents would never want their children to go. That's why parents are so worried about their children. You were once children. And you remember the lure of the forbidden, you see. But all is really well with them. You have no reason to worry about them whatsoever. Just relax and trust that they will make good choices. And that is the thing that you most want to impart to your children. We would like to hear a sincere statement from all parents to all children that goes something like this. I don't get to choose for you. You get to choose for you. And I know enough about you to know that you will always make the right choices for you. And I'm going to do my very best to feel good about the choices that you make. Not because I'm going to try to agree with your choices, but because I'm not going to let your variety of choices keep me from my connection to who I really am. I want to demonstrate for you what connection is to Source. And it is my only wish for you that you get connected to Source first and then follow through with any other plans that you have, you see. It's just not accurate to say that war is wrong. It's just not accurate to say that war is not as good as something else. It's just not accurate to say that this way that these people are living is wrong and this way that these people are living is right. It's not accurate to say. Everyone gets to choose. And as soon as you become at one with letting them choose and you choose for you, and oh, that's a big one for parents. I'll choose for me and I'll let my children choose for them. Oh, that's so big. I'll choose for me. I'll choose for me. Well, mother, how are you choosing? Well, I'm feeling the vibration of it. Well, what does that mean? Well, I've lived enough life to know what I think is a good idea. And then I do my best to direct my thoughts to those things that I think is a good idea. And I can tell by the way I feel when I'm successful with that. And things manifest that match that. Oh, mother, that seems like a very good way to guide your life. I might try that as well. Yes, we were all born that way. We're all born with guidance from within. And we were all born knowing that we would have fantastic adventure and variety. And the more adventure and the more variety, the more fantastic our life is. And adventure and variety from a known place of security and well-being is delicious. Adventure and variety from a place of inferiority or from a place of unworthiness or from a place of fear is torturous. But the answer is not peace. The answer is connection, you see. So what'd you get from that? Mind my own business and let my children do as they please. And fashion in my mind a picture of them living happily ever after. And trust that they have the wherewithal to do that. And teach in every day that I can how good it feels to feel good. And how simple it is to choose a better and better feeling thought. And what freedom I give to myself when I do not demonstrate that we have to get our government to do anything differently than it is choosing to do in order for us to have joy. Huge entrapment in that, isn't it? Hmm. Yes. Good.
Thank you.
Enough?
It's never enough. Thank you.
Do you think that you, from your physical standpoint, have more agreement with all of the other people with whom you share your planet or more disagreement? Do you think that you are the same as all of them? Do you think that you see life the same as all of them? Do you think that the way you see life is the rightest way? So everyone gets to choose for them. So if everyone gets to choose for them and you're in agreement that that is a good thing, then where does war fit in? How does war come about? In other words, if everyone gets to choose and what they choose is the creation of their own experience, then why is there a need for war? Because there are so many people, in fact, most people, who still don't know that they create their own reality. In other words, the reason that war exists is because there are so many people who believe that you, in what you choose, could get into my pie. And it won't be until more and more and more people are understanding that they are the creator of their own experience that they will be willing to let go of the act of war. But is the act of war in and of itself a wrong idea? It's a statement of freedom, isn't it? It's a statement of me getting to choose what I am an advocate of, you see. And that's the thing that we think that so many of you, if you can make peace with the idea of war, now we'll be getting somewhere. Yes. In other words, make peace with where you are. Don't look at the world as broken. See it as evolving in a comfortable way. Look at the positive aspects of the conflict. See them and how they dovetail in to the expansion of the universe. Understand that the diversity is what makes the world go round. That the variety is what gives you the stuff which gives you the idea of what you want next. Understand that source energy is not choosing sides. Source energy is not saying, well, we will be on the side of these soldiers and we will be against the side of these soldiers. In other words, everybody's inner being is helping them to get what they are wanting. It's always the way that it is, but it's pushing against something that is depriving everyone of their own guidance system. So we are not encouraging you to be for or against war. We're encouraging you to be for alignment with source. And we're saying to you that when you are in alignment with source, you would not be an advocate of pushing against something. You would not be an advocate of war or of force. But you can't be uncomfortable about somebody else being an advocate or pushing against something without you pushing against them. In other words, and you can't have it both ways. You're either in alignment with who you are or you're not. Yes.
I know I should just not pay attention, but I can't help sometimes worry when I see people who, you know, if there's a victim of a murder, if there's a... I can understand the co-creating, and I can understand sometimes when people do things as they're moving themselves up their emotional scale whenever they are, and that they can do violent acts, and it actually makes them feel better than they did. But it's always hard for me to understand the people on the receiving end. And
Jerry wanted to put them all on islands. He wanted to put the murderers on one island and the rapers on another island so they could murder each other and rape each other. He thought that was the perfect justice system. And we said, there are already those islands. They are vibrational islands. And then the group was unhappy with that. They said, well, why does the one who's murdered end up on the same island with the one who is the murderer? And we say, you give enough attention to something that you don't want, you become the vibrational equivalent of that, you see. You just cannot worry about things without becoming a vibrational match to it. There are two things that we want to say about that. First is that there are many people that are creating for themselves what you would call a violent experience that they would have called an adventurous experience right up to the point of getting murdered. And then you say, well, then it went wrong at the end. And we say, well, then you're calling death the thing that is wrong. Mm. And you can't even do that. You just cannot understand. There are people who would far rather live the adventurous life that culminates in their violent death than a life that is much more placid, that does not result in a violent death, but was not nearly as exciting as it unfolds. In other words, you just don't get to choose for anyone else. And of course, you said those words to us. I know that it's not my business and I don't get to choose, but it's not easy to be of this world and not have an opinion about what everybody else is doing in the world. And we want you to do that. That mixing it up is part of the contrasting experience that causes you to give birth to your preferences. But once you have seen something that you call like a violent murder, and out of it comes your desire that something different than that happens for you or for those that you love, then you must turn your attention toward your new vision, not toward the violence that you are pushing against, you see. There are so many people that in the name of well-meaning things like religion or goodness or peace or whatever are promoters of the very opposite of the thing that they seem to be promoting, because they're pushing so hard against its opposite that they become the primary promoters of it. There's never been more obvious evidence of that in any time-space reality than what you are seeing all over your world here today. Just relax and live your own life and live your own world and get tuned in, tapped in, turned on, and let everyone else live their world in the way that they are choosing to live it, and understand that it's not your job to fix this broken world and that this world is not broken to begin with. Good.
Good. Thank you so much.
You are extremely welcome. Good time for a segment of refreshment. We are.
Abraham, I discovered you about a month ago, and I just want to thank you because these teachings have changed my life. My husband and I moved 4 years ago to a small town about 40 miles outside of Portland because we want to have a more simple life. We want to have land around us. We want a quiet environment. We want to have a community of people. We want a safe place for our 10 cats. And, you know, that's probably the most important. And we moved to a home that we love very much, that we were able to afford. However, it's right next to it, the property. We're surrounded by a number of acres that at one time belonged to the home that we are currently living in. But these people had to leave because of bankruptcy. And so the land has been subdivided. And when we moved there, the land next to us was zoned for residential development. And in the time that we have been living there, economy's been bad. Nothing's been really happening. We have been praying, we've been hoping, believing that nothing would happen to that land. There are trees all over. Hawks live in the trees. It's beautiful. It's just it's quiet. We have a beautiful deck, and you can just see, you know, the Milky Way out there. And lately, there's been a lot of activity. The town that we live in is starting to, you know, get in. The real estate is moving. And it seems inevitable. It seems naive, even though I have been believing and I have been envisioning that land staying as it is and the hawks having a nest in that tree. The fact is that this is real estate, and real estate is moving, and I think that there is going to come a time very soon when they're going to start cutting down those trees, and we're going to be exposed to the... And no matter how much I try to accept that reality, and I know that by pushing against it, I'm almost creating it. By going outside on my porch, and instead of seeing the tree, I see the bulldozer in my mind. I fear for the hawks. I fear for my cats getting run over by all the freaking cars that are going to come. And, you know, I mean, I cannot... In my wildest dreams, like there's like two things right now. There's like either envisioning in my mind that it's never going to happen, and that feels like trying to hold back a tsunami, you know, like trying to like prevent progress from happening. It's too much work to constantly be envisioning something that to me seems like an inevitable part of just progression. And the other point of it is that there is no way on God's green earth that I am going to be able to just sit down and accept the fact of me sitting on my back porch listening to some guy scratching his butt in the morning. Because that's how close the homes are going to be. It's like, you know, seven homes right there, right next to us. I am so upset about it. I cannot find in my heart a way to be with this. It's either I'm, you know, I look at the trees and I go, oh, you are so beautiful and I love you so much, hawks. And then immediately I get this thought in my mind, don't love them too much because they're going to be gone pretty soon. And the reality of the situation is, and this is what I came to today. When we moved there, it felt like a stepping stone. It never felt like we were supposed to be there forever anyway. It was a way to get away from where we currently were. We wanted to live into the country. The other side of it is also is that there's been a lot of clutter that's been collecting over the years and years and years of inattention, of the garage is full of clutter and, you know, just stuff that's been accumulating. And in my mind, I realized today that one belief that I had unconsciously was, I really want to clear out my home and my clutter, and oh my God, they're going to start developing this development, so I better get my clutter cleaned out now so that, you know, when it gets time to move, I can just get up and move. And I can see that somehow I have been creating the situation of this development in order for me to get spurred on to clean out my clutter, if you understand what I mean.
You could say that, and that's a positive slant to put on it, and that might be part of it. But we want to point out to you something that it's been wonderful hearing you, because you have projected in very clear terms one of the best examples that we have ever participated in of how people do create their own reality, whether it's a reality that they want or not. In other words, what you've done is, and it's natural and easy to understand, you've taken the facts or the evidence that you have access to, and you've put them together in a logical, sequential unfolding that has nothing to do with the reality that you would like to create. You're saying, we came here for one thing, but the writing's on the wall, we can see that something else is coming, and then you're just struggling within it. And what we've noticed as we listen to you, and this is not uncommon either, is that it was easier for you to allow your imagination to go with the flow of what you didn't want than it is for your imagination to go with the flow of what you do want.
Yes, absolutely.
And the thing that we want to say to you is that, now just consider this for a moment. Let's say that you are sensing accurately, we're not saying this, but let's say, just for sake of getting this point across, that you are sensing accurately that the development is in place, that the money has been put up, that the land is sold or ready to be sold, and that you are receiving a sort of precognitive vision of that which is to come, which is contrary to what you want and which is upsetting to you. But let's say that rather than getting hooked in to the vibration of what you don't want, you remain steadfast to what you do want. Now, skip with us forward into your future just a little bit, and let's say, just for the sake of really helping you to understand this, that your precognition, as you have described it here, is accurate, and that that neighborhood of seven houses up close to each other is going to come to being, and that 5 or 10 years from now, they'll all be in place and the neighborhood will look like it's always been there. However, you, in your awareness of wanting to feel good, did not allow yourself to go with that flow or to pick up on this precognition. Let's say that you maintained your vision of country and oak trees and hawks and
safe kitty cats.
And cats who are out of the hawk zone and
that's and a good point.
Just thought we'd throw that in. And you and you have managed to keep yourself feeling good anyway. So even though the development comes because it is part of someone else's dream long before you even moved there, let's say, you have done such a good job of maintaining your picture of what you want. You spent all of these weeks, months, and years enjoying the beauty of where you are and maintaining the vision of what you want. So even though this particular space in this particular time could not accommodate your dream, you didn't mess up your future experience by worrying about what's happening here. So when the time came and the development begins, you've already become such a vibrational match to what you are wanting that another door opens for you and you find yourself in an even better environment. And you say to all around you, you know, when we came to this place, we thought that it was heaven on earth, and it was hard for us to imagine anything that would be more perfect. But then, because of the contrast that ensued and the data we collected, we fashioned still an even better dream. And we did such a good job of staying in vibrational alignment with our even better dream that when the development came, as was inevitable, we were vibrationally perched and ready to receive the next thing that came. And it was so much better than if we'd even stayed here.
So what does the day-to-day process of this look like when we see people out there
Here's a more important thing that we want to throw back to you, and we want you to contemplate this every day. Nothing is more important than how you feel, and you are needlessly torturing yourself. You have created visions in your mind and carried them to extreme in a way that you are squelching the joy that you could be living today.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Well, most everybody is, because there is this feeling that I've got to feather my never-ending nest from where I stand. And we say, you can't possibly do that. Just stand where you are and look at your deck and look at the birds and look at the vista, and don't worry about what anybody else is doing, and trust that the universe will yield to you a never-ending unfolding of perfection if you will allow it. In other words, we would not begin to say to you, that, and nor would you to us, that when you bought this land, you thought it would be the land that you would live on forever. You are wise enough to know that you are continuing to evolve. In other words, you're talking about keeping your garage cleaned out so that you're ready to go. In other words, you know this at many levels of your being. Yes. But the question that we want to put back, not just to you, but to almost all of you, is why do you needlessly torture yourselves by negatively anticipating future experience? Why do you worry about your children being drafted and going to war? Why do you worry about your government losing its mind and doing things you don't want it to do?
Tell you for myself what I've identified, that it's a deep fear of loss.
It's a belief that somebody else has more power in my experience than that I do.
Yes.
And the reason you believe that is because you haven't been practicing the power that you have in your own experience. Jerry said one day, and we thought it was a very telling and powerful statement, as we were talking about positive expectation of others. And Jerry said, Abraham, I do not believe that I have ever negatively expected something of someone until they showed me something negative to expect of them. And then I guess I just sort of expected them to be who they are. And so there is a sort of, for most of you, inherent mistrust in the deeds of others. And what we mean by that is you don't trust others to do the thing that will be best for you.
That's right.
Oh, hear this. It's really, really good. You're asking the impossible. You're asking others who are selfishly oriented, just like you, to make you their first priority. And then you're feeling critical of them when they don't do it. And we say, give it up, give it up, give it up. They're not ever going to put you first. Everyone is always going to put themselves first. But when you understand that this is a universe that can accommodate everyone, and that they're winning what they want does not keep you from winning what you want. You see, it's only when you see something like land, which is quantifiable, and you see it as limited, you say, there's only this many acres, and I don't want them to do with those acres what they want to do. And we say, don't believe in the limitation. Believe in the expansion of your own desire, and trust that the universe will give you exactly the vibrational equivalent. And so as you stand on your deck and you worry about them, the universe is going to give you the vibrational equivalent. And you're going to get mad enough that you're going to say, I don't want to hear what's going on over there across the fence, and I'm going to leave. But you're going to go to another place that's going to treat you the same way, because you haven't changed your vibration. You left the city because it was so crowded and there were so many things about it you didn't like, and you went to a place that looked to be very different, that is turning out to be exactly the same, because you took those expectations with you.
Yes.
That's why we are not advocates of pushing against war. Whatever you push against, you get more of, you see. And so that does not mean that we are advocates of war. We are just advocates of not pushing against anything. We don't encourage you to push against anything. You can't hold back the force. It is like a tsunami. I'm looking at this thing I do not want, and it's coming after me. And I'm looking at this thing I do not want, and it's coming after me. And we say, look at something you do want, and it will come after you.
But what does that mean about the difference between running away to a new circus? Like, I want to get the hell out of there, and I want to go to a new quiet place, and accepting what I have, which is listening to some guy scratch his armpits.
But why are you making the worst of it? In other words, here's the thing that we want you to hear. First of all, we don't think you're going to hear that.
I don't know. The property line that ends right there.
We think that you're using it to dramatize what you do not want in a very dramatic way.
It's possible, believe me.
And as you do that, you're locking into a vibration that is going to bring them closer and closer and closer and closer.
That's what I'm afraid of.
But this is the most significant thing. You see, we're not trying to get you to clean up your vibration to stop this development. We want you to clean up your vibration so that you can evolve to a development that is more to your liking. Yeah. In other words, we want you to become one who envisions the essence of how you want to feel so that you give the universe the latitude through a lot of different avenues to yield to you exactly what you want. A life that unfolds like that is truly a delicious life, where you're not specifying all of the exact details of how it will unfold, but you're just such a vibrational match to the essence of what you want that the universe just surprises and delights you endlessly. In other words, here's what could happen. As you stop your, and we've got to give it to you, we chose you because we knew that you would be full of vim and vigor and fun and fire. In other words, you are a very good representative of what a lot of people are feeling, who are things around them happening that they don't want, and you are willing to profess what you do want in the midst of all of this, and you've done it in such an open way that you've demonstrated for so many people exactly what they're all doing that is causing things that they don't want to keep coming to them, you see. And so now what we want to point out to you, we want to help you to see that if you could sit on your deck and feel grateful for the time that you've been there, and feel proud of yourselves for this transitional time, and pat each other on the back about this lovely place that you carved out, and feel the appreciation that your cats feel. Do you know, not one of them is worried about the ensuing development?
They might be about the hawks.
They're just living right there where they're living. They're loving life. In other words, they are the best example for you to follow. So as you make peace with where you are, and what we mean by that is feel appreciation for bringing yourself there, and feel appreciation that you've had this time there, and feel appreciation that it's taking them a long time to get their act together. Yeah. And feel appreciation that it will be quite a while before any dirt is even turned over. And feel appreciation about where you are. What's going to happen is your appreciation about how things are is going to dramatize things as they are. And so now what's happening is, because of your positive attention to this subject, the plans that are in the making that aren't a vibrational match to that begin to congeal to be more of a match to what you want. In other words, you actually get in on the planning of this. You actually become a co-creator without ever going to one of their meetings. Fence lines are moved, decisions are made, the size of the houses and how much ground is left between them, common areas, appreciation of the magnificent trees. In other words, as you look at the trees and you call them magnificent, others look at the trees and can't help but notice that they are magnificent. And as you love them as they are, others begin to love them as they are. But when you see the bulldozer knocking the tree down, then there's no positive side to it. And the person who's just looking for more space doesn't even consider the beauty of the tree. Where if you've been considering the beauty of the tree, it becomes a factor in his analysis too. Do you see how it works?
Yes, I do.
So you can only win. These are the positive aspects and the reason that we are advocating you making the best of where you are and making the best of things as they are. First of all, you get the benefit of feeling really good now, which we know isn't worth much to most of you. But it ought to be worth everything, because your now is all you've got, you see. Your now is where all of your emotions and feelings and life are. So as you work to make yourself feel better now, you get the benefit of that. The next positive thing that happens is you have a very good chance of positively affecting the way the development unfolds, which isn't all that satisfying to you because you don't want it to unfold at all.
But I could see two houses.
You could have positive input into all of that. And the next significant thing that happens is that if you don't use what's happening in your backyard now to mess up the way you feel now, you won't mess up your next experience. But if you use what's happening in your backyard now as an excuse to beat the drum of what you don't want, then not only will it not be pleasant now, and not only will the development unfold in exactly the way you don't want it to, but you hold yourself in a vibrational place where you can't find the dream land that you've been asking for. Oh, it's there. The universe knows where it is. The universe has plotted a plot to take you directly and efficiently and joyously to it, but you will not get a whiff of that trail as long as you are beating up on what's happening in your backyard, you see. And this is the best example that we have ever been offered to help us describe the value of making peace with where you are. Make peace with it. And by making peace with it, we mean look for the positive aspects. Look for the positive aspects. Wouldn't it be nice if other lovely people like you could have the benefit of getting to live in this nice area? And wouldn't it be nice if the wildlife could continue to flow and float and be as it has been? And wouldn't it be nice if others could bring their pets and they could have the same joyous experience that yours are having? And wouldn't it be nice if someone the likes of which you have never known, someone truly on your vibrational wavelength, moved in next door and enhanced your life in some exciting and unforeseen way? And wouldn't it be nice if the development turned out to be so lovely that in retrospect you wondered why you ever worried about it? And wouldn't it be nice if, as it is unfolding, you began to get so in the flow of your own vibration and you're in sync with your source energy that you actually began to envision things and then you began to get to see the evidence of your alignment. Wouldn't it be nice if this was the opportunity that you've been waiting for all your life to stop trying to control conditions in order to feel good, but to show yourself that you can feel good no matter what the conditions are? Wouldn't it be nice if this opportunity freed you from needing to keep moving to another corner of the world and another corner of the world and another corner of the world in order to find the absence of what you want, in order to find the things that you don't want absent from you? Wouldn't it be nice if this is the opportunity that you've been waiting for, where you can stand right where you are and stand your ground and clean up your vibration and watch the universe respond to you?
Yes.
It's what unconditional love is about. Conditional love says, got to change that condition because I can't feel good as long as that exists. And we say, then you better keep running, because everywhere you go, there's going to be another condition that you're going to feel like you've got to escape from. Or you can discover that you can clean up your vibration wherever you are, and the source will bring you a joyous experience wherever you are, you see.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
thank
indeed.
You.
We have enjoyed this interaction immensely. It is delicious to come together with those like you. You have stirred it up very well here. You are living powerful lives. You are extensions of source energy. And things are unfolding for you in a perfect way. We want you to relax and have more fun with all of this. We make too much of all of this, really we do. When you decide that you're going to allow others to live as they choose to live, and you're not going to interfere by demanding that they change the circumstances of their life in order to accommodate your feeling, you're most of the way there. When you discover that you are willing to let everyone off the hook, when you discover that you can feel good because you can focus your mind in a way that does feel good, you will for the first time consciously give yourself the key to freedom that you have been looking for all of your life. And those around you will feel better too, because when they discover that you're not holding their behavior responsible for the way you feel, a big weight will be lifted from them, and they will want to be with you more. They'll want to know the magic that you seem to be demonstrating. They'll want to know, why do I feel better when I'm with you? Why does food taste better when I'm with you? Why do I feel more like laughing when I'm with you? Why do things seem to go better when I'm with you? Why do I get the best parking places when I'm with you? Why do people treat me better when I'm with you? What is the magic of your being? And you say, I've let them all off the hook. I've made peace with them as they are. I've stopped pushing against the aspects of them that annoy me. And I've started looking for the aspects of them that please me. And I've tuned myself to the best of all of them. So now the universe can only give me the best of all of them. So now I don't have to push against war, because I'm not a vibrational match in any way to that. And war, in no shape or fashion, comes anywhere near me. People don't argue with me in the grocery store. I don't fight over parking places. I don't have to jockey for position on the highway. I am living the perfect life because the universe is on my side. It always has been. I just didn't know it. There is great love here for you. And for now, we are complete.
That's the delightful little chime we use to begin our sessions. It also serves to sort out the evil ones among us. Well, you got them to just go like that. But those of you who are not used to microphones will mess around with the sound system while the speaker's up on the stage and just say, whoa, I can't, it's too close for me. Fairly recently, we've had what we call the glutton program. Some people never get enough. They want everything that Abraham ever says. And so because of that, we started packaging them a little nicer. And so if you order them today, they'll come packaged. Kind of, instead of just in a paper sack, they'll come kind of like this, and it'll have on the back kind of what was discussed today. And you can kind of find your way back through the day if you like. You have two options. Of course, you can choose the old-fashioned rectangular version, or you can go for the modern circular version. Let's see, now if I open, I'm not going to do it, but if I open it to questions, you would probably say right now, when will I get it? When will I get it? But I've ordered them today. How long will it be? No one has any idea. So, I expect to have a great time today. I mean, that's what I'm here for. Esther and I are here basically for that. We come for the fun of it. And so if anything meaningful is ever going to happen out of a day like this, it's going to be up to you guys. So no, speak on, my dear.
Hi. Every day is a new adventure, isn't it?
Yes.
Bye. Aha!
You can tell Esther and I are taken by that Alaskan cruise.
I think we should just get on and never get off. Just go around every time, you know? They put new food on every week.
I used to work on those when I was years ago. On the cruises out of
you painted,
Florida. Oh, the Costa lines out of Genoa. What?
You painted ships?
I painted ships, yes.
No.
Actually, no, I was a juggler, to be fair. I juggled. You throw them up there, and the ship tips over there, and you run over and catch it over there. Louise Hay asked us a while back if we would be willing to put together some of Abraham's sayings and let them publish in them. And so I picked out like 60... what we call quotes, kind of, and then they put them together, and it's called this well-being cards, this set of cards. This is a great idea. You know, I've never been one to talk about our stuff. You know, when we meet people along the way, and they say, what do you do? And they say, well, we're authors. And they say, of what? And we say, books. And that's kind of good. But I kind of let you guys tell people who tell people. That's the way it's gone. But with these, I've really got excited about these. If anybody stirs up anything, I keep a bunch of them in the car. I say, here, you might enjoy this. We were visiting Neil Donald Walsh, you know, the author of Conversations with God. We were by his home a while back up in Oregon, and he hadn't seen these, so he was looking through a set, and he would take them out, and he would just look at them, kind of like that, and he'd pick them out, and there's tears that start flowing out of down his shirt. He would say, that is just so beautiful. Then he would lay this one over here, and then he'd pick another one. He'd just start, the emotion would just pour out of him. The tears would flow down his face. And I thought, by gollies, if a fellow that's been that much of a teacher and that much of an influence in this kind of thought throughout the world can find that much power in this simple little card, there has more power even than I realize, you know. So that's one reason I'm very excited about these cards. They say so much so succinctly. Or briefly, you know, and with so
quickly.
Few words, you know.
We don't get it.
You don't get it.
You know, we need more words.
You know, if you can do that, you can probably do this, too. A lot of you, through the years, you know how you do
that. That's exactly what my life is like. If you can do that, yeah. How about...
She's very busy. But if you're not, there's shipping and handling, which kind of covers the shipping and handling. And it's a full 74 minutes. And this has it all on it. You know, everything's on here. When we, Abraham and I, and Esther was there too, but can you believe that? That's just the way it is. I mean, things are getting better all the time. I mean, a lot of folks think they aren't, but you had to have been around as long as I have to know how good it's getting. I mean, it used to... Well, I know people don't like to hear that, the old time. It was so hard back in those days. Well, it was hard back in those days. I mean, really, well, I can remember me with this. I'm taking dictation, but I mean, I was so... And it was hard in those days because I had this huge marble slab and this chisel and a hammer, you know, and I'm just taking it down as fast as I can get them, you know. And I said, I've got 9, 10's all you're going to get, you know, and I'm just chopping away at this. So anyhow, I mentioned earlier our subscription program, sort of like the Book of the Buck Club, where you can just sign up and stuff will start. I remember that was wonderful. I don't know if some of you were maybe involved with that. It was a great idea. Because they would pick a real nice book, and every month you could count on it coming, and you didn't have to keep reordering and so on and so forth. The only downside was you just couldn't cancel. It's like they didn't know that word. I mean, my lifestyle changed, and it wasn't practical anymore, and I asked them, if, you know, I wanted to cancel the Book of the Month Club. Oh, no, the books just kept coming, and they kept coming, and I'd send the books back. I wouldn't pay them even, and they'd just send more books. They'd send the books that I had sent back. Keep me up on it, and another bill, and man, that's marketing. That's wonderful. We've duplicated it now, and we have.
You ready for me, aren't you?
We're ready for you. We just can't wait much longer.
I have to push all my buttons. Wait.
Doesn't Jerry do that?
Push them. Yes.
No comment.
Yes, he does. Thank you very much. Yes, ooh, you sure. Know, I could.
Precarious.
Yeah. It's been like this all day. That's very frightening. Glad I didn't notice.
It was only, seemed like only a couple of years ago, I started saying, because I used to say to folks, well, people say, aren't you wanting huge crowds, you know, thousands and thousands of people? I just say, well, not really. What we're doing is just developing the philosophy. We have this nice bus that we drive, and then we've got a tow car. We have a Yukon behind it that we keep Abraham in there when we drive, and then
Yahoo!
All right, and then thank you guys. It's your questions. It's what's built the whole philosophy. And then I'd like to, if you would, thank the lady I live with. Yes, thank you very much. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call area code 830-755-2299 or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com.